Welcome to Let's Talk Land, a weekly land talk show devoted to learning about land and farms, buying and selling, ownership, especially for real estate agents and realtors. Learn from the experts. Free land education. Hi, my name's Lou Jewell. I am an accredited land consultant with United Country Real Estate, Sutton Properties, our new company name, along with my co-host, Teresa Martin, who is out selling real estate today, so she won't be with us, but we'll manage. And buying and selling homes, land or farms in Western Piedmont, North Carolina, or Southern Virginia, just give us a shout. We'll help you out. Our new office is at 102 East Main Street, next to BB&T Bank, downtown Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. Please make a note of our changes, and our company new website is www.allsuttonproperties.com, allsuttonproperties.com. Just a program note, Dr. Barbie's Ask the Doctor show will now follow this show and will air at 10 a.m., so stay tuned and join Dr. Barbie. He's always got a great subject. Our guest today is Robert, we go by Bob Dale Hatcher Sr. Welcome, Bob.
Thank you, Lou. Glad to be on here.
It's a real privilege, and you don't know how much I'm excited about having you on our show. You're a very special guest.
Thank you.
We both share something in common. We're both accredited land consultants, part of the Realtors Land Institute, and that'll be part of our subject today. And if I may, I've got 2.5 pages, I'm going to abbreviate them, of your 80 years on this planet and your experience. When did you get your real estate license, Bob?
About 25 years ago.
Oh, okay. So you're a newbie.
Relatively new.
That's right.
I've dealt with real estate all my life. Being a forester, you know, a tree is part of the real estate until it's severed. And I've been doing forestry for 50-something years.
Okay? Wow. That's quite an experience. I'll ask you one question. I already know the answer to it. What's timber worth?
Not near enough, okay?
My forester always says it depends, and it really does. There's so many variables, isn't there?
It is, and every market's different. Thank goodness we got a market, okay?
It's one of the best ones we ever had, right?
Right.
But you are had quite an experience here. You're manager of Hatcher & Associates. It's an LLC, and Sutherland Partners, LLC. You're in Jasper, Georgia. Where's Jasper, Georgia? On Big Canoe Road.
It's right up in the middle of North Georgia. It's up in the marble country, where the marble for monuments in Washington were mined. It's a very nice mining town. We're about 65 miles north of Atlanta.
Gotcha. What size town is it?
About 6,000-7,000.
Okay. Yeah, we're about 1,280. Two. Right. Got one lady in hospice and one expecting twins, so I'll update you on the current population next week. You went to Wilkerson County High in Irvington, Georgia, and college at Middle Georgia Junior College in Coran, Georgia, and you're a University of Georgia, go Dogs, Athens, Georgia. Shout out. You're the third dog we've had on the show.
Really?
Yeah, really. Yeah, there's a lot of dogs in the real estate business.
Right.
You got a degree in BS in forestry in 61 and a Master of Science in 64. And you completed your PhD in geography. And so we call you Dr. Bob?
No, I completed the coursework.
Oh, okay.
Completed.
So you didn't get degree. You didn't get that certificate, did you?
No. So, yeah. Which made me go back. It was in geography. And I went back to work in forestry full time.
Probably enjoyed that more, I'm sure.
Right.
But your designations, of course, you're accredited land consultant with the Realtors Land Institute. And I want to talk about that because you were our president back in 2001. And I think we're 76 years old this year. So, it's quite an organization, and we're proud to be part of it. You like riding trains, history, travel, geology, baseball, outdoor exploration, observation of plants and animals. That's a lot of good interest there. Your work history is you were a forestry consultant timber dealer in Athens, Georgia, from 61 to 65.
Right.
You went to the University of Southern Mississippi in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, as assistant professor. Good for you. 65 to 70, and university forester professor, 67 to 70. How'd you enjoy teaching?
I loved it. But there's something missing if you've ever been in business. There's nothing like having to meet a payroll every Friday, okay?
Yeah. Fortunately or unfortunately, I've never had that obligation. I've always worked for someone. And, of course, with the real estate industry, we're 1099, so a little bit different structure. You also worked for the James M. Vanderman Company as a consulting forester. You were a resident consultant from 68 to 70, secretary treasurer of 70. Now, that's an organization like RLI, the Consulting Foresters, well known.
No, it's a for-profit consulting firm.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks for clarifying that. And then you were the vice president of the Western Division and senior vice president of the Southeast Division.
We were at that time probably the largest consulting firm in the country. Huh. It no longer exists.
Really?
But it was a good organization.
Yes, sir.
We had offices in North Carolina all the way to Beaumont, Texas.
Wow. So then you, in 87 to 02, you were with Hatcher and Elan, Inc., as a co-owner and manager at General Forestry Consulting, private timberland owners in the forestry and government industry, including acquisition of sales of land. Then you were Shelton, Good & Company, and they were the world's largest real estate auction firm. Are they still around?
No, they're not now.
Okay.
They ceased to be about 8-9 years ago.
Gotcha. And did they cover pretty much the United States? Was that when you
yes,
said the largest?
And some international work.
Okay. And you, and we're going to talk about that. You're very involved outside the country.
Right.
You were director and part owner of Forestry and Natural Resource Division 2002-2009, dealing in large properties from California to Florida. And then you're now Hatcher and Associates since 2003 and Sutherland Partners. So I assume one's a real estate firm and one's a forestry firm?
It's just a legal way of keeping up with things. It's the same me either way. Okay?
I got you. All right. Keep the IRS straight, right?
Right.
High Country Forest Products in Wellington, Utah, 2004 to 2005 Consulting and Timber Procurement Director. So you lived out in Utah?
No, I just went out there once a month for 10 days.
Gotcha. And then you with Algame Lands. You did a $105,000 timber property in Northern Ontario in Canada, and then you consulted at part owner 2006 to 2009 management investment responsibility in several land development ranch timberland investment syndications throughout the U.S. and Canada. And then you were teak plantation consultant. What's teak plantation?
You know, teak wood?
Yeah.
The rock-resistant wood.
Yeah, I used to have a sailboat.
Like oak or poplar, and it's a very fast-growing tree. It's an Asian species that grows well in the tropics.
Gotcha. So that was planning and securing bank financing investment syndication in Costa Rica.
Yes.
And then you were doing real estate acquisition, managements and sales offshore in Canada and Europe, Latin American feasibility studies. You were in timberland management experience throughout the U.S., large inventory appraisal work, mineral lease administration. What was that?
Like hunting leases and mineral leases, coal leases, things of that type.
Gotcha. Then you were resource investment analyst and syndicator for 40 years of experience evaluating timber and land for investment syndications in Americas. You were expert witness in the U.S. industrial land acquisition agent. And then your professional memberships, the Society of American Foresters. That's been around longer than RLI, hasn't it?
Yes. Almost over 100 years.
Are they? And they're strong. I'd like to get somebody maybe help me in that organization and have them on our show. And
well, you've got several members right there near you, okay?
Yes, sir. Well, we'll hook me up. Hook me up, and we'll let you co-host with us. And I've been doing several shows like that. It's a lot of fun. Then you were Forestry Landowners Association. Now, that one I'm not familiar with.
It's a pretty big association. It's mainly for landowners, industrial down to the private landowner. It's very strong in its lobbying effort and well thought out.
Gotcha. And mostly just private landowners and corporations, is that it?
It's both industrial TBO ownership and individual landowners.
Gotcha. And then, of course, you being in Georgia, you were part of the forestry, Georgia Forestry Association, of course, the Realtors Land Institute. I mentioned you were distinguished national president in 2001. I joined RLI in 1998. I actually had bought a 205-acre tract. I've developed over 60 rural subdivisions. back in 97, 96, 97. And George Munford, I don't know if you know the name, but he's been in our chapter for many, many years. And we were doing a land deal. We had a buyer for one of my tracts. And he says, you know, you like land so much, you need to get involved with the Realtors Land Institute. And of course, he told me all about it. And so we got a lunch a couple of weeks. Why don't you come join us down here in Winston? And I did. And didn't join then, but he said, we've got a class coming up. Ned Massey, my buddy Ned, up in Virginia. Yep, he was teaching the subdivision course, which has changed names now. But that was my first RLI course. And after taking that class, that two-day class, I had the confidence, you know, and some skills, and that's what led me into land development. And thank you, Ned. And then, of course, I joined officially in 98 and got my ALC in 94. I think my certificate number is 1,097 is what's on the plaque. And I think there's about 550 of us around the country right now.
Right. I got into RLI. I was a speaker several times at their meetings, and somebody said, Bob, you need to join. I said, well, let me know how much I need to pay you.
It's all about money. All about the money.
Right.
Well, we're glad you did, and you've been a great asset to our organization and continue to contribute. We got to spend some time together. We usually see each other at the national land conferences, but we were in Charleston last weekend and had a ALC conference, and it's always a pleasure to see and be around you. I always learn something. That's why I wanted to have you on my show today.
Well, that's part of the organization, the networking with people. There's a tremendous amount of talent spread among our members, and I've always enjoyed that. You know, from people with legal backgrounds to engineering backgrounds, sales, marketing, radio, a lot of things.
Yep. And we're kind of all the organizations, we're going to mention up some of them here. It's probably the most unique one, isn't it, that you're involved in?
Right. I don't see how any real estate person in a small community cannot be a member of RLI, because it has everything one needs, I think.
It gives us the tools, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the network.
Yeah, I do.
I've networked for fees with RLI members all the way from Montana to Florida.
I can also say the same. I tell you, it's anytime I have something outside of my area, I always go looking for an ALC first, and if I can't find one, I'll get an RLI member, because I know at least they have interest in land and hopefully have had some training. So it's been 100% success in my experience over the years, and I'm so happy that I'm part of it, and I'll be with it until my last breath, I'm sure.
Yes, I became an ALC because Bob Meeks, who was a civil engineer and in charge of ALC program, he sat me down at breakfast one day after I'd been a member several years and said, Bob, you need to get ready to be president. And I said, well, I will consider that. He said, but you got to get your ALC first. So I immediately started work on it.
It took a little while to get it, too, didn't it?
Never regretted it.
Me either. But, you know, Meeks has since left us, and actually we give awards every year at our conference, and we have the Meeks Award, which is the highest and most prestigious award in our organization, honoring him and his contribution to our organization. And, you know, very, very unique people, select people are awarded that each year. And, you know who they are. They're the superlatives in our industry. And what a great award to plaque to hang on your wall in honor of him. I can say.
You know, Lou.
Yes, sir.
Bob Meeks, I cannot say enough about him, the quality of him. He called me one day, and he told me that he had taught a class in California 10 years previously. And he just gotten a call from a student of that class 10 years prior, who had some land that they wanted to sell in Louisiana. And Bob asked me to handle it. Well, in the preparation of getting it sold, Bob passed away. So I split a fee with Bob's widow, Louise. And so your work lingers on even after you leave this earth.
Yes, sir. Our guest today is Bob Hatcher. This is Let's Talk Land. So, Bob, this is something I really, really have some interest in, at the International Real Estate Federation, which the acronym is FIABCI. Is that part of the National Association of Realtors? Is that one of our associations, or is that independent?
No, it was at one time, but not today.
Okay. And they're based out of Paris, France.
That's a world headquarters.
Yeah. Yes. And you got involved with them when?
In 1993.
Okay.
In fact, Lou, I went to my first RLI national meeting in New Orleans, mainly to meet people, but also to market a large 18,000-acre property that I had for sale. And they had a very first-class marketing session. I was a little embarrassed at the quality of my brochures. So I made up my mind then that I need to clean up my act and get better.
I
also heard about FIABCI.
Mm-hmm.
And some importer, Martin, out of Illinois, a prominent member, gave me the telephone number, and I called them to tell them I wanted to join. And I didn't even know how you pronounce the thing. I left word, and they called me back, and I said, I want to join. And I did, and by joining that organization, I then marketed that property in Jerusalem, Israel, Chicago, in several major cities in the world.
Wow.
Based on joining that. And all of my expenses were paid by my client. And the client was very tickled by the pickle game.
Okay.
By working hard at it.
How would you sell the same property twice?
We sold it to an investor, and I had a second buyer that wanted the property when I sold it to him. And I said, I got another buyer that might be interested. So he said, well, if you can get me this amount of money, I'll sell it. So I got
he was a flipper.
Party.
Yeah.
Yep. So,
good for you.
Very good deal.
Yes, sir. I sold one property five times, but
okay.
Well, it was a timber tract, and guy bought it, cut the timber, and then I sold it to a hunter. He kept it for a number of years and called me up and said, sell it. Sold it to another hunter, and he kept it for a number of years and called me up and said, sell it. And I sold it to another hunter, and then the last person put 10 chicken houses on it.
So, oh, gotcha.
And he sold it, but I wasn't involved. I would have sold it six times, but it was a 100-acre tract. But anyway, you were vice president in 2006 of the FIABCI, and then president of the U.S. chapter in 98, board of directors from 2000 to 2007. You were president of the Rural Committee in Paris 1997 to 2000, executive board director of Paris 2003 to 2007. And then you had the NGO, environmental representative of the United Nations from 2000 to 2004. What was that all about?
Well, FIABCI has a seat at the United Nations as an advisor on property around the world.
Right.
And I was a representative.
Okay.
And got to go to the meetings, and it was an experience of a lifetime.
I could imagine. I lived in New York City and used to go to the UN, tour it. And one of my friends was on the interpreter. She was fluent in five languages, lives in Geneva. I'm still very close to her. I tell people that's where my private Geneva bank account is. She's a psychiatrist. But when I went to work for Peter Max, the artist, from 80 to 84, he'd been in recluse, and I'd done a little research with my friend and found out that the UNICEF program, that there'd never been an American artist. You know, they have an American artist that does a cachet, and then they put the flag of the country. Well, the United States never had one. And my friend hooked me up in that department. And next thing I know, I got Peter that assignment. And Danny Kaye was the spokesperson at that time.
Really? Yeah.
And they had a big to-do with the UN and Peter and the promoting the cachet. And it was quite an experience. It was quite an organization there. So,
well, there are a lot of quality people outside the U.S., and there are quality people in the U.S., but you got to have some medium to be able to communicate with them, and that's one of them. and I certainly enjoyed it. The UN cafeteria is the only place to get a good cheap meal in York City.
Okay? I've eaten there several times over the years.
Okay.
Yeah. The food's excellent. You're right, and it's not very, very expensive.
Well, Lou, one of the other things about international real estate, I had a project one time to invest $50 million for a French family, and we never got all the money invested, but I had made a lot of money working with them, and I thought I owed it to them to become more involved with international real estate.
Right. Well, that's
plus I like to travel.
That's, yeah, that's quite an assignment. Now, one thing that I know that you are quite proud of, you received the Medal of Honor awarded in Vienna, Austria in 2008. Medal of Honor for what?
For services rendered over an extended period of time.
Good for you. I'm sure that was quite a ceremony.
There were only two foresters in the organization.
Really?
Myself and a fellow from Norway. But he was a lot better than me. He could play the piano, okay?
Well, you know, you can't do it all, Bob.
That's right.
So for those realtors out there, why would they want to get involved with FEOPC?
Because it expands their network, and you got to be able to justify it. It costs a good deal of money.
Right.
But it's like anything. Any kind of advertising works, Lou. You know that.
Yes, sir.
It's just a matter of what you get the best yield from, okay?
Exactly.
But if anybody is thinking about joining, they give me a call. I'd be more than glad to go over it with them.
Okay? Yeah, we're gonna hook you up on the website, and at the end give you a chance to do your commercial. But we'll put your email address on our master site, which is www.letstalkland.net. It's also on Spotify and Podbean, but we always put your email address only. I don't put phone numbers, but they can at least have a way to contact you. And of course, if you're on my show, you agree to help anyone that contacts you, and I'm sure you will.
Right.
So anything else we want to talk about the International Real Estate Federation while we're on the air?
No, I think that covers it.
Okay.
But I'm glad to go on it further.
Yeah, so you can go on that website. I'm sure just put that in there, International Real Estate Federation, and
right,
learn all about what Bob's experience was, and maybe have the same type of resume here in a few years, which is quite impressive.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the forestry industry. You've been involved a long time. What has changed over the years? Has our trees changed? Has our market changed? Has our products changed? Internationally, has it changed? What's been going on over the years in forestry?
Lou, there have been major changes. There's been a major change in land ownership. In the 1930s, 40s, we had the pulp mills coming to the South. And in order to satisfy their banks, they had to buy land. And they did. And then about mid-70s, well, I'd say about right after 2005, the forest products industry started selling their land,
right,
liquidating it.
Yep, I've seen that.
And most of it was absorbed by the timber management organization,
mm-hmm,
who are managing it for pension plans. That's the biggest change.
Okay.
Our hardwood markets have gotten better over time. The genetic stock of our pines probably has increased 50% in the last 40 years.
Okay.
Forests have become far more intensive. But I'm old style. I still use the cheapest method I can to regenerate my forest. But the hot item today is white oak.
Why is that?
Because it's used for barrel staves to put bourbon in, okay?
Oh, that's a good reason.
20 years ago, everybody thought the young people were going to quit drinking bourbon and start drinking other things. But in fact, it's now used for wine and bourbon. But under law, they've got to have white oak for the bourbon here.
Interesting. is the population, you know, one thing that I've always heard and I share in my classes, you know, I teach land classes, we have more standing timber in the United States today than when the settlers first came to this country. Is that true?
I'm not sure what's more than when they came here, but I've read statistics saying that even between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, that they're growing twice as much, 2% more timber than we're cutting. And we do have a surplus of large pine logs in the South. It's a real problem. We've got to find more markets.
Right.
We need a better housing market.
But right now, the timber industry, if you're looking to sell your timber, it's probably one of the best times in recent history, isn't it? Market's up very strong for most species, not all.
It's not the best ever, but it's a good market.
Yeah.
A tree will physically grow at about 7 to 8%, and it grows in quality by probably another 6 to 8%. When you combine that, if you manage it right, you could probably get a return of 12 or 15% growing timber. But the problem is land itself. Land, other than use change, has not gone up more than about 2% per year since the Revolution. But one good thing about rural land, unless somebody comes in and puts maybe chicken houses next door or a trash dump, rural land, there's always something happening that's better. It gets better over time.
Yeah.
A new road's paved. More people move in. It's a good, sound investment.
I'm a believer in it. You can made a lot of money playing in the land game. And, of course, our family, my great-grandfather and grandfather, between 1909 and 1929, bought 18 farms, non-contiguous but all in the same area, roughly 900 acres. And we're on almost 5 generations of passing that down. There were 10 children in mother's family. Of course, then that spread out to grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. And we're proud to say that every inch of that's still in the family. And then if you take the 10 children and what they brought, we have almost 2,000 acres in the same situation. So
that's great.
It's fed our family and put us through schools and built homes and raised kids and fed us. And can't get much better than that.
Lou, my grandfather was born the year after the Civil War ended. And in the 1890s, late 1880s, he floated logs from central Georgia down to the coast at Darien, Georgia, and walked back home 161 miles.
Good Lord.
So when I have tough days, always think not near as tough as Grandpa.
So when you went to school, did you go barefooted?
Almost. But I tell you, Luke, the first pair of woods boots I ever had were Chippewas, and I bought them from a shoe store and paid for them by the week, okay?
Wow. Times have changed, Bob.
They really changed. One of the things I wanted to mention to you, Lou, over the years, I've had an opportunity to work on some interesting projects. Do you know Rendezvous Mountain State Forest?
I've heard of it. I haven't been there.
It's over to the west of you. That's one of the last great battles with the Indians occurred. I inventoried the timber on that years ago.
How many acres was it?
It's about 3,000 or 4,000 acres. It's a mountain there.
Yeah.
Look it up.
I've heard of it. I just have, yeah, Rendezvous Mountain, sure.
And then I worked. Didn't get to work, but I spent some time a couple of years ago working on the Hoffman Forest project that North Carolina State had, 80,000 acres. That was an interesting proposition. So, and I also, back in about 1969, I inventoried 54,000 acres of open grounds up east of Morehead City, right down on the marsh line there. So I've done a good deal of work in North Carolina too.
Well, we appreciate it, and you made a great contribution. Our guest today is my distinguished friend, Mr. Bob Hatcher, and this is Let's Talk Land. So, Bob, I want to cover some other stuff here because this just blows my mind. And like I said, the wealth of information and experience you have, thank you so much for sharing it with our guests. And this will be a memorable show. It's interesting that there's no real land education in our industry other than the Realtors Land Institute. And, of course, we have right now 10 two-day courses, one's two-and-a-half-day courses, and they're tested. You have to have six of those, 10 million in sales and so on, final exam and a recommendation from an ALC to get our Distinguished Accredited Land Consultant designation. And I said there's about 550 of us throughout the United States right now with about 1,300 members out of 1.3 million realtors in the United States. So we're really small but very dynamic and talented group of individuals, landmen and landladies. But I created a four-hour class for the state of North Carolina. We have to have 8 hours of continuing education to keep our license. There's 111,000 licensed agents in the state right now, about 68,000 practicing, with about 16,000 offices scattered around the state. But I created the only land class for the state of North Carolina called Introduction to Land Brokerage. And, Bob, I'm finding out that if you call your real estate commission in Georgia and ask them if they have any courses on land for CE credits in your state, I'm going to tell you they're going to say they don't. I can't find a state in the country. And that's a shame, but that's just what it is. But that's why I wanted to do this show. And as you know, this is your show number 75 hours of talking about land. And what I'm being told and finding out is that we're creating, you're helping, creating the most incredible portfolio of information about land that's ever been done. So I'm hoping to get some sponsors and syndicate this thing. Maybe you can help me out with your local radio station. I'm looking at creating a app right now for the show and want to expand it. But hopefully we'll get a book out of this or something in the future. And it's just an opportunity for buyers, sellers, landowners, real estate agents, realtors to at least have a source for some type of exposure to all the intricacies. I say in my classes that I've been teaching since 2003 around the country, you know, land's a little four-letter word, but it's got a real, real long tail. And once you start dissecting that tail, it's incredible the amount of information and the resources and the organizations that are part of the real estate industry, specifically the land industry. You agree?
Absolutely. And it's an undernourished subject. I went through forestry school, BS, MS, and I don't remember real estate ever being uttered in those years of schooling. But, you know, most land people have some connection to the land, like your family.
Yes, sir.
I grew up knowing where all the neighbors' boundary lines were. You know, in our farm, each field had a name and designated, and it was just a part of it. If you live in Georgia, you know, we're unique. We've got the first east half of the country state was settled prior to the Revolution. After the Revolution, Georgia divided up the rest of the state into land lots and had three lotteries. I think we're one of the few states they had a lottery, and they did 40-acre lot land lots, 160-acre, and 2.5 acres at about a 37-degree angle. I don't know why the hell they did that, but I've always been a student of just land itself, and you know, it's good for agriculture, good for housing, it's good for timber and recreation. So many aspects of it.
It feeds us, it houses us, and it closes. It feeds us, it houses us, and it closes. And, you know, it, and everything begins from the ground up. I don't care whether you're downtown New York or you're out in rural America. It's it all starts with the land. And good Lord's blessed us, and, you know, we need to cherish it and be good stewards of it. So you've done timberland investments in Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, Montana, Utah, of course, Canada, Ontario provinces. and you've done some large auction operations of timberland, ecologically sensitive land and recreational land in Alabama, California, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, Montana, Nevada, Tennessee, Wisconsin. And then you did some work in the mineral ore and land in Montana, a 900,000-acre project. What was that?
Lou, that's an interesting story. Going back to the International Real Estate Federation, I had a good friend in the organization who's the past president of FEOCSE, named Sheldon Good. And I actually met his son, Stephen Good, at a cocktail party in Dublin, Ireland. And then about a year later, I met him at a conference in Chicago, a NAR conference. And he said, "Bob, I want to do some business with you." And I said, "Well, I'm all ears." So he and I constructed a real resource division, and we were going after large ownerships. And it was about the same time that we had sawmill development projects in Montana. And there was a tract of land, an old mining site called the Kendall Mine. They mined over 500,000 ounces of gold out in 1800s and had timber. So I went to buy the timber. And it wound up that I had to go to Golden, Colorado to talk to the president of the mining company. And while there, well, I had sent out some of my propaganda before I got there.
Right.
About the things I was involved in. And while I was there, he said, "Let's slide down to the other end of the conference table. And I want to talk to you about having me sell these 900,000 acres for ore and mineral rights." So that's how I stumbled into that project.
Holy mackerel. Did the light bulb go off?
Oh, yeah. And, it's just one of those great projects. And believe it or not, I'm still getting some residual benefit of my contacts out there.
I bet you are.
With gold.
Yeah. And was that sold as one 900,000-acre tract, or was it broken up?
It was all broken up.
Okay.
It was scattered. It at one time had belonged to Anaconda Copper, which in the 1800s, Anaconda Copper ran the state of Montana.
Yeah, they did. I used to print their annual report, that and Newmont Mining.
Well, they sold off their land surface, the timber, to a St. Regis. St. Regis bought it, sold it to somebody, and eventually the timber went one way, and one of the major mineral companies bought some of the minerals, and this gold company, Canyon Resources, bought the ore and mineral rights. So we were just doing the ore and mineral rights. Well, they had some land with it,
right,
some old mining sites. But it was a very educational.
I would say that's quite a unique project. I mean, you've done this, is just one of many. This is a smaller track. 104,000 acres in Ontario, Canada. What was that about?
That was about losing my rear end, okay?
Yeah. Oh, you did?
We bought that thing in about 2007.
Ooh, wrong time.
Just before the bottom fell out.
Yep.
And it was an ironclad deal that would not require much effort. But as the housing market deteriorated, our markets deteriorated. Everybody got in financial trouble, and we escaped with our life, okay?
Yeah.
And a lot of experience.
No,
but enjoyed working in Canada.
As we say, no amount of planning will ever replace dumb luck, huh?
Absolutely.
But you've had a lot of consulting experience, too, in Argentina, the Bahamas, Brazil, Belize, Canada, Chile, Costa Rica, France, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Panama, Uruguay, and, of course, here in the United States. What type of consulting was that? Is that in timber, pretty much, or?
Almost all timber or land.
Okay.
I did a project in the Bahamas. At one time, they harvested timber in the Bahamas. There's a small pine that grows there Caribbean pine, and they had harvested the trees maybe in the around the turn of the century, about 1900, and the stumps were still there, lightwood. And this group was digging up the stumps, putting them on barges, and to bring them to Brunswick, Georgia, to extract the chemicals out of the stumps. And they got in a legal argument, and my job was to go over there and gather facts. So I'm one of the few people who've been paid to go to the Bahamas, okay? And I enjoyed it.
I bet you did. The weather was nice, wasn't it?
Right. And I spent a lot of time in Costa Rica.
Yeah, we've got one of our United Country, Michael Craig, who's helping develop, reestablish the real estate industry in Costa Rica, and he's also working in Panama. He's actually getting the whole real estate organization down there reorganized and doing a hell of a job. He's one of our top producers.
Well, I've got a good number of people, friends in real estate down there.
Yeah, I'll hook you up with him. Maybe you guys can joint venture on some stuff. He's quite a dynamic guy. He's, like I said, I think he's probably the top producer in the United Country Real Estate Organization.
Really?
And, out of Colorado.
Well, in the 70s, early 80s, I probably went to Latin America twice a year, mainly playing devil's advocate for investors. You know, there's a lot of money that goes out of the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't come back, okay?
Yeah, I'm aware of that, too.
And it's sort of like investing down there. What is that Jimmy Buffett song?
Right.
There's a woman involved, you know.
Yeah.
But it's fun, okay?
It is fun. The real estate industry is fun, isn't it? It's one of the, I wish my dad was in it in Charlotte when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s and the old 59 Buick, and they were building Lake Norman, and we'd go out there, and he was representing Duke Power. They had certain strategic parts of it was going to be around the lake, and he had one subdivision, and I'd go out in that 59 Buick and meet clients out there, and they'd say, Mr. Jewell, he said, how much is lot 28 over there? And he'd say, well, that one right there is $58. And they'd say, $58? When's this water going to be in this lake? He said, probably about 3 or 4 years. You could hear the bulldozers and smell the fires. And, you know, it's quite a project. One of the largest land-made lakes in the country.
And, well, you know, Lou, one of the largest real estate deals ever was Christopher Columbus. You know, he was financed by Ferdinand Isabel.
Right.
And he was to get 10% of it, everything he discovered.
Right.
Plus have the rights to be the viceroy, the governor, and maybe the admiral of the whole thing. He never got all his money. But that was my kind of real estate deal, okay?
First real estate deals in the Bible. You know, there's several of them. So that's the first recorded transaction. Of course, the Garden of Eden, and then, of course, when God gave Abraham's family the land, and then when Abraham's wife died, he had to buy a plot of land to bury her. So those were all.
Well, you know, some people say bank regulation started when Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple.
Okay? Right. I love it.
Go way back. You know, surveying was invented to reestablish the land ownership in the Nile River after the flood. So people have been dealing with land a long time.
Oh, yes, they have.
And they've been with it forever.
I want to talk about something that you were very much a part of. It's actually a book. And you were a contributing author along with Donald J. Trump. And it's called Churches, Jails, Gold Mines, Deals from the Real Estate Maverick by Stephen L. Good that you mentioned earlier. You can still get copies on Amazon. But the preface on it said, most recent successful large real estate projects, 44,000 acres of timber, coal, and assets in West Virginia / 18 months in closing during the deteriorating coal market and facilitated development acquisitions in Central Florida property near Tampa and the Path Grove. These and many Lycon properties involved from Network, probably third most powerful force on Earth. Currently, the largest forestry project monitoring and inspection of 9,000-plus acre timber harvest and operation in West Virginia. But Stephen Gold was an attorney, right? CEO and chairman of Sheldon Good and Company?
Yes, Steve had a law degree from DePaul University, and actually worked with the DA in Chicago for a while. Then went in business with his father. He was a real friend of RLI. Steve was one of the most capable people I've ever met, and a very inclusive person. If he ever met you, he'd invite you in to speak to everybody else he was talking to.
Wow.
And he and I developed a relationship, and we chased a lot of deals together. And one of the big projects we did was for one of the major timber REITs. We auctioned off 97 properties one day in Gainesville, Florida, and we had about 450 people in the room. Toward the end, there was sort of a frenzy among the crowd. There were people there that thought they weren't going to get any property. It was an exciting day. And I'd say 20% of the buyers, Lou, had not been in the U.S. more than 5 years. That was in 2004 when the market was
hotter than heck. Yep.
Yes, sir. And then we did properties in California, Nevada, Wisconsin, Louisiana. You learn a lot about different states. Some states just don't have the amount of money that you have in your part of North Carolina, in the rural area.
Yes, sir.
And your fortune, the REIT gave me or us an opportunity to select over their properties and pick the ones we wanted to deal with. All I did was get me a road atlas, and I drew a circle around these plots and determined the number of people in each county, and that's how I made my selection. It was just based on how many people, what's the potential market out there.
That's before we had computers, right? That was the old school way of doing it.
Hey, we probably had computers, but Bob Hatcher could not use them.
Understand. Back to Stephen Goad. He was actually the 121st president of the Chicago Association of Realtors, which at one time was the largest chapter with over 10,000 members. And he established the authority in his field. He was regularly quoted in Forbes and Fortune and Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Chicago Times, U.S. Today, and Newsweek. He did a lot of work with Sotheby's and Christie's and the fine arts and business, and sold over 40,000 properties from coast to coast throughout Canada and the Caribbean. That's got to be up there, probably one of the top real estate guys in our industry, right?
Right. Well, he sold one of Trump's properties. That's how Trump became part of the. Trump did the afterword in the book part.
And then your part of the book was Own a Gold Mine, Mining Rights in Montana. Robert Hatcher That's and right. Associates and Alan Joyceland, attorney?
Joyceland, yeah.
Joyceland, okay, I'm sorry.
And Alan is the most prominent mineral attorney in the western U.S., And that's a good format to write a book to invite people in. And I had been saying that I was a co-author with Donald Trump. My daughter, who's a librarian, told me I could not say that. I could say I'm a contributing author.
Gotcha.
With Donald Trump. Okay. Well,
thank God for daughters. They keep us straight, don't they?
That's right.
I got one, too. She's quite a girl. But with not a whole lot of time left, something I really want to indulge you, okay?
Okay.
Talking to the younger generation, and this show hopefully reaches that group, especially, podcast. I've got it on two of them. That seems to be where the younger generation spends most of their time. What can you, with all of your experience, what advice can you give the younger generation about our industry, the realtors industry, but specifically about land?
Get you a system where you interface with landowners, land buyers, or service providers to landowners. It's a numbers game. You develop your reputation, you develop some level of confidence, and you just keep exposing yourself. If you don't believe networking works, go home and get in your closet, shut the door, and see how much business you get.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of very talented young people coming out of high school and college today who can do anything with computers. They can analyze things. And they just need good people skill. Most foresters get to be foresters because they love the word woods. But it didn't take me long to figure out the forest belonged to people. And you've got to learn how to deal with people, okay?
That's right.
I had a sociology course in high school, and that's one of the most valuable courses I had in education was sociology. It helps you understand people.
You realize
not everybody can be perfect like me, you know?
That's right. But we get all kinds, don't we?
And you have to take them as they come.
It's interesting, you know, when I start my classes out, one of the things I say is, you know, I look around the room and I said, you know, I'm looking around the room and I think we got some realtors in here and I think we got some real estate agents. And there's a difference in the two. The real estate agent is an independent agent as opposed to being a member of the National Association of Realtors and State Association and, of course, your MLS. But I just look around and I say, you know what? I just figured out something. We're not real estate agents and we're not realtors. And I get real quiet. And it's usually one that says, what are we? I say, we're professional problem solvers. And here's the deal. If you have trouble dealing with your own problems, see that door back there? You may not want to finish this class because we have enough trouble dealing with the public, much less dealing with ourselves. So if you're not handy at dealing with people's problems, you don't need to be in this industry. And, you know, it's true because it always starts out, Lou, Bob, I got a problem. I need to sell something. Lou, Bob, I got a problem. I need to buy something. Isn't that true? That's the way it starts.
Absolutely. Lou, there's an old saying. If you know where you want to go, there's someone who will show you the way. And a Lou Jewell, an RLI organization, a Theophany organization, even your church has a group that will help you find your way.
Absolutely. No problem about that. But, you know, it's one thing that I enjoy about the Realtors Land Institute is we're always helping each other unselfishly, unconditionally. I don't care what the situation is. I can pick up the phone. If I got something unique, don't know how to handle it. And, you know, this business is so complicated. In the real estate schools, you know, when you get your license, they don't spend maybe 10 minutes on land or commercial or property management, what we call the specialties. And then they'll throw up a slide and they'll say, land is the most complicated of all real estate transactions. But then when you ask the instructor why, our instructors are not trained. So I'm actually working with the North Carolina Real Estate Commission with our instructors group to create a little seminar for those that teach our real estate courses to at least give them something to respond why land is the most complicated. What would you say if someone asked you that question?
Luke, my approach is, it is complicated, and Bob Hatcher does not know every answer, but I will find you someone, a credible advisor, whether it be in accounting, law, or marketing.
Bingo. That's our job.
We all need to do an ever better job of marketing.
Well, the industry keeps changing. You know, it's in the old days, you know, United Country started in 1925, the very first real estate franchise in the United States. Right. And in 1928, they actually published the first real estate catalog. It's housed in the Smithsonian Institute today. And so that's where it started. And then, of course, the Realtors executives came along when the fax machine, the old fax machines that you'd put the paper in and it would sit there and roll around the cylinder and take 5 minutes to transmit one page. And they started a franchise, and then, of course, Century 21 Remax. But again, United, and I'm plugging them because I send them a lot of money every month, my franchise commission fees. But they are the only real estate franchise that's set up for the rural markets. People don't realize this. The other franchises, and they're all great for their own rights, but they're set up for the urban markets. And actually, United Country, a couple years ago, we actually started United Real Estate, which are opening up offices in your major cities, Atlanta, Charlotte, and blah, 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 for the urban market, because a lot of the buyers that we get come out of the urban areas and want to get out in the country. So, you know, we're kind of cross-referencing and referring back and forth. So, but with just maybe 1 minute left, Bob, what would you like to leave our listening audience with? And then we'll let you do your commercial here in a little bit.
Well, not much of a commercial, but anyone listening who needs help with real estate, pick up your phone and call Lou or someone like him. Tremendous experience and knowledgeable person. I used to have 28 foresters working for me, but today I'm a lone wolf and I just associate myself with experts anywhere in the world where it's safe, legal, and the check's good. And there are a lot of people who will work with you out there. And I'm one of the few people who's sold land at auction, who's bought land at auction, and he's worked in the auction. It's got a place, but the day-to-day grinding of pushing real estate still works very well.
Well, that's a good thing to leave us with there, Bob. I want you to kind of let people know how they get in touch with you and your website, if you have one, and your email, of course, and your phone number. And we'll give you a chance to put your billboard up.
Okay. I'm Bob Hatcher, Forester, Syndicator, Realtor.
Accredited Land Consultant.
770-653-6582. Email bob@bobhatcher.com. bob@bobhatcher.com. Contact me and I'll answer you.
Well, I don't know of anybody else in the industry that has more experience and talent than you do, Bob. And you've been a real honor to have you on the show. What a celebrated career, and you've got many more years to contribute, and we look forward to keeping our relationship and sharing your wonderful gift that the good Lord's given you in the land industry with others. So thank you so much for being on our show today. We'll kind of close it out here. And
well, thank you, Lou. You and Rodney both. Appreciate it.
Well, you stay around for a second, but any guests or topics that you'd like to suggest, we would appreciate them. All questions are welcome, and all of our guests may be emailed with your questions or concerns as well. This show is for the public and, most importantly, for the real estate agents who do not have a source of land education. This is free land education for each and all, domestically and around the world. All of our shows are downloaded after their broadcast on this morning on www.letstalkland.net. That's L-E-T-S, no apostrophe, talkland.net. And it's also downloaded on Podbeam and Spotify. And we're working on an app shortly, and maybe we'll get that going for you. If you need to get in touch with me, my email is lou@mylandpro.com, lou@mylandpro.com. My cell number is 336-669-1405, 336-669-1405. It's also on the website. Rodney, how do they get in touch with us here?
Well, they can go to our website. Go to WKTE1090.com and click on the Land Pro right there, and they can listen to your show every Saturday morning from 9 till 10. And also, they can download the Simple Radio app and hear it anywhere in the whole wide world.
In the whole wide world?
That's right.
What about the moon?
Yes, even on the moon.
Mars?
Mars.
Wow.
Pluto?
Pluto.
Yeah, Pluto. Look, Shadow woke up on that one.
I know. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But, yeah, they can pick it up there anywhere.
But we are a beach and music oldie station Yep. Nominated 5 years in a row and hopefully six coming up here this fall.
That's right. Hope so.
As the beach music oldies and goldies and oldies and oldies, not oldies and goldies.
Oldies and beach music.
Oldies and beach music.
Yep.
And I want to congratulate you. You just got a nice award recently. Tell us about it.
Yes, the Reader's Choice Awards for being the number one DJ announcer
number
of the year.
DJ announcer of the year.
2019.
Wow.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Well deserved.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank all of my fans out there also.
Yes, sir. Well, we had another great show. Bob Hatcher, you're the best, buddy. God bless you, and thank you for joining us.